Welcome to the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast, taking you around the country, shedding light on the work of the Scottish FA from grassroots to coach development, and taking a look at the future of our game.
In this episode, your host Lewis Irons sits down with Head of Coach Education and Development Greg Patterson and Director of the Magic Academy, Russell Earnshaw. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me. Greg, Russell, a pleasure to have you here. Greg, let's jump straight into this one. It's a pleasure to have Russell here.
It is.
And obviously, you're no stranger to this setup, Russell. You've been around the pro licence before, but we've got Russell back, and what better thing to sit around the table and do a podcast?
Yeah, it's a great one for us today. I think Russell's started his day at 3:30, he was telling me earlier on, so we've got him up, thankfully. We've got our tutors, our kind of introductory level tutors in today. We bring them together four times a year, so after seeing Russell on the pro licence and just keeping in touch with him, then I think he's got a lot of good messages, a lot of good takeaways that the guys will be able to learn from, and looking forward to the day.
Yeah, Russell, an early start, but you're no stranger to this setup, a podcast around the table.
Yeah, early start, and I love the way you've done no preparation, as I would either, and that you've managed to put me into a small cave to do it. No, as Greg said, I mean, last time I came up was really good fun. I enjoyed it, high levels of engagement, lots of coaches that wanted to learn, so I'm excited to come and hang again, really, and do a bit of learning myself. As I said, I was doing the presentation on the flight, so fingers crossed, and going to try some new stuff that I'm definitely curious about, so we'll see how it lands.
Yeah, well, it's not always easy to tie this man down. You were explaining how busy to me you are at the moment, Russell, but you mentioned those takeaways, and you've seen the qualities that Russell can bring to the pro licence. What can he bring to the tutors, and more importantly, when he is on the pro licence, what can he bring to our coaches?
I think for us, it might just be as simple as a different voice who brings something fresh and something different, rather than someone from the kind of football fraternity that might not say the same thing all the time necessarily, but Russell, with his kind of rugby background and now what he does in that kind of person development work, brings us something different, something fresh, and something unique. You know, even the way he's just explained there, he was literally doing the work on the plane. Not only that, I then pick him up at the airport and he's then got the laptop out again. And it's that attitude towards, we'll see how this happens, because that's, for me, can be what coaching's like, and sometimes people aren't brave enough just to, let's try it, let's see what happens. And Russell's definitely got that quality that this will be good fun, you know, and he talks about everything being good fun, and let's see what happens, let's roll with it, let's tweak it if I have to. And sometimes I think that in itself is a great message for coaches to say, listen, let's try it. What's the worst thing that can happen? I need to change it, I need to tweak it, then fine. You know, that's, to me, that's the quality of a good coach, when you have to change it or tweak it. So that kind of mindset, if you like, of Russell's just to go, let's try it, this will be fun, we'll have a good time trying.
Well, you weren't so complimentary of me with that lack of preparation this morning, but I guess similarities between coaching and podcast hosting then, Russell, was it?
Yeah, and just to pick up on a couple of those things, I mean, I really like the phrase, let's find out. Yeah. So often with young people, they want to explore stuff, so sometimes as coaches we might go, no, but actually let's find out, let's see what happens. And I think of it a little bit like, I'm always thinking of related worlds, so comedian would be a related world. I could have the worst ever set today, and I'd be getting lots of feedback that no one's laughing at my jokes, and I could go with my tail between my legs. So it's actually been a really good reflective experience for me, because actually I've just come off a couple of days tutoring on a hockey course, and obviously there's tutors in the room, and it's got me really thinking about, well, actually, what are the principles? What's the stuff that's important when I'm, you know, doing that kind of function? So it's been really good for me. And the last thing you said, which I 100% agree with, because I watch other people coach my son and he responds to them differently. However, it's really similar messages. And in my head, I'm going, you wouldn't do that with me. And actually, that's a question a lot of coaches ask me. What's your son like when you coach him? And it's definitely a good challenge. So it's often similar messages, slightly different voice, slightly different context. The beauty for me going into other sports is that I'm not really a threat. I'm not, I can go, I actually don't know that much about football. I don't really understand that much of the, let's call it, technical stuff. Same with hockey, but actually we can definitely have some discussions around how people can get better, how we can maybe facilitate learning, practice design, all of those things that, you know, I'm sure we'll explore today.
Yeah, and we've been there a million times, I think, on this podcast, you know, when chatting to people like, you know, like looking back at Michael Beale and Chris van der Hagen and Russell now as well, or Rusty. So, you know, and it's that same message. It's these people have at the heart of their DNA the word development. Yeah. You know, it's not, it doesn't need to be about the sport necessarily. It's about developing that person, that young child, whatever it may be, that group that you're working with in your charge, to become, as you know, holistically as good as they possibly can.
Yeah, and another good example. So I would use, when I was up at Rangers, I spent a bit of time with Mike, and I would use some of Mike's stuff from football in rugby. So I said to Mike, why didn't you make it? And he won't mind me saying this, why didn't you make it as a footballer? And he said, because at the age of 18, I had an 18-year-old left foot and a 3-year-old right foot. So that's been really useful for me, as to go to rugby players and go, look, how old's your left-hand pass? How old's your right-hand pass? And actually quite a playful way of probably then going, yeah, actually, I possibly need to work on that. I mean, we had a thought experiment over breakfast, didn't we? Actually, it would be cool that if a good challenge for a coach, that as a kid came in, you know, let's say a kid rocked up in football at 9 and they were right-footed, that in 12 months' time, that kid had to be left-footed.
I think that, because that actually came up when I was speaking about my dad, of course, you know well, David Irons. Yeah. He, when he was young, was right-footed, but was... It was drilled into him at such a young age, work on your left foot, and he's worked on it so hard that he became left-footed.
Is that right?
And stuff like that, I think.
Yeah. that could have been my Panini sticker album.
Exactly, you may well have had my dad's face in your sticker book at some point. But that, we were dissecting the whole coaching world there this morning, Greg, but when we were talking about that. But things like that, I'm sure you will find when you speak to new ideas, new voices, that will be refreshing things that you can bounce off each other and learn from.
That's right. Taking those little nuggets away that Russell's explained, he's taken that from Michael Beale, and I'm trying to think, who did we last speak to in the podcast last time? Nick Cox from Manchester United. You know, I'm taking things away from him. You just take, and people will take away different things. And I'm back to, I suppose I could then rewind the clock back to Nick Cox again last week, and how he started was that, if you agree with me today, that doesn't mean to say it's right, just because two of us in the room agree about the same thing. And he says, if you disagree with me, it doesn't mean to say I'm wrong either. Yeah. And it's that whole, take from things what you will. Exactly. And I think that's important for us in our tutor training, is being able to put different voices, people with different experiences, different backgrounds, to try and develop the tutor holistically, which will hopefully produce, at the end of it, a better coach education experience for the coaches that attend, which then in turn, obviously, creates a better learning environment, etc., for our young players.
You speak about background. Sorry, Russell.
I was just going to say, sir, and your tutors are like are critical in this. So if anyone goes to something like that or listens to your podcast, they're probably going to go and try and translate it into their context and try it. And if it doesn't work and they don't have someone there to support them or to help them make sense of it, then they may continue to keep doing what they're doing. So I do think, like, I'm excited about this morning, because those kind of people, getting into other people's environments, supporting them, are the people that are going to make a significant difference to the experiences of the kids.
Absolutely.
Greg speaks about the background of coaches, and you'll know this from hosting podcasts and being on podcasts. We've gone down a route already, but I want to just pull it back a wee bit and talk about your background, Russell. For everyone listening, give us a breakdown of your background and your.
We said we'd do this, didn't we?
We knew we'd get away.
It's interesting, and so and actually we did a podcast with Wayne Smith, and I got about 20 minutes in, and then I asked him a question, and he started actually just talking about why he coached like he did, which I thought was quite powerful. So I'm going to do that. I had amazing coaching experiences up until I left university and then went and played professional sport, and I went from a position where we ran everything. We had a coach, Tony Rogers, that was more concerned about making sure we had the peg and the golf ball for the drinking games afterwards, and we were coaching ourselves, and actually the captain was essentially the head coach, and so the players ran everything. It was the best time ever. I can remember as having loads of like secret moves, and you know, it was so playful and had the time of our lives. And then to actually go to a place where probably didn't feel like coaches cared that much about me, very little kind of individual stuff, lots of stuff where it was really coach-led. I didn't have that much autonomy. I remember being very frustrated by it and thinking there's ways we could all become more skillful. You know, those experiences have definitely shaped, you know, how I would want learning environments to look and how I would want to support people, really. I played a lot of rugby. I've done a bit of cross-sport stuff. I'm terrible at football. My skill team once lost 19-0. I was a defender. It wasn't a good day. Yeah, and I think those type of things. Actually, the other thing that's probably shaped me significantly is I spent 2 years teaching. So after the sevens, I went and spent 2 years teaching, and I know a lot of coaches would have had that background, but just starting to understand the context for young people these days, and everyone, not everyone, lots of people would say, oh, they have it easy, it's da-da. I'm spending time in a school thinking this ain't easy for the kids. So to live in their world for a couple of years and to experience some of the stuff they experienced was really powerful for me as well. And you know, as I said, now working cross sports, I've coached in lots of different environments, so from performance, you know, if we're going to call it performance, to development, to my son, to other people's kids, to boys, to girls, to, so it's, yeah, I think all those experiences, it's probably taken me. And that's why I love sitting on the plane doing stuff, because it's just to have an opportunity to have a, probably a really good hour's reflective experience, mm-hmm. Which often, you know, as you know, it's just taking a chance. So coaches are constantly in motion. Yeah. And we're thinking, you know, we often, our players will often peak at weekends for matches or whenever the match is, and be a lot of attention paid to that. But actually as coaches, when we rock up at a session, you know, we're often running on empty.
That's a quality that, I guess you can't necessarily teach people to have that quality all the time, that sort of level of commitment, that level of passion, but you will see that the majority of the guys that come and have an interest in doing this will have something there. I guess it's just getting the best out of them. Is that the role of a coach sometimes?
I think it's got to be. I think it can become all consuming. Yeah. You know, it's constantly in your head. How do I change that? How do I get the best from that? You know, I take my kids team, you know, and I'm even thinking, I just let them play. It's that simple. But even just reflecting on what we're speaking about now, I read an article the other day in Play, and I'm thinking to myself, bloody hell, I actually don't let them play. Yeah. I thought me letting them play was setting up the goals and picking the teams, but in actual fact, I read this article the other day, it says, that's not play, because yeah. I'm still dictating what they do. So they should decide what they do when they come to training. So again, that's, and then it's, well, how's that going to look to the parents? That's going to look like chaos. Are the parents going to care? Do I need to educate the parents? So everything that you're thinking about is constant, you know, and it is that constant. And then kind of, you know, Alan White at Heart and Midlothian, you know, the community coach there, he talks about, and he's right, he talks about the volunteer coach running into the house, quickly putting on a bit of toast, running back out of the house, you know, maybe grabbing their tracksuit and their trainers and they're away and they're delivering a session. They've had very little time to actually sit down, and as Russell talks about being reflective, but on those commutes to work, they're probably thinking over that session, and they're probably thinking about what I'm going to do, how am I going to change it, how am I going to make it better, who's going to play on Saturday, who's not going to, yeah. You know, and so it's exhaustive, it can be.
All consuming is the word for it, isn't it? It can just completely dominate a coach's mind when you're going through that process.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things that triggered me on there. One is that, you know, the people that come today, and I meet lots of people who are super passionate about coaching, lots of people who are kind of my age, getting to a midlife crisis, not so long left in life. I want to actually have something that brings meaning to my life. And lots of people I know have quit jobs, have started doing coaching degrees, have actually made significant change. And it does become all consuming. So I think it's the support network around them. And what you were talking about, I think they do a lot of the reflection on the way home, and it's often, oh God, that was terrible. Oh, I can't believe that. So even when we did the podcast with Wayne Smith, I said to Wayne, how do you reflect? And he said, car home, I'm thinking, oh my God, was I arrogant then? Was I this? I'm like, mate, you've won 2 World Cups. You're my coaching hero.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, that's the kind of vulnerability we often all feel as well. So I think, yeah, I mean, once again, the role of those tutors is critical, because otherwise it can become, you know, it actually have a significant impact on mental health, even coaching lower down, because you're stressed on the way there, you're getting grief off parents, you're getting grief off kids, you know, you're thinking, is it all worth it? And so there's definitely, you know, I'm excited that people are supporting your stuff around the play stuff, and a shout out to Amy Price, who's done some really good work. She works as a coach developer for the FA, but she's done some great work around video game design. But my last 3 months have completely changed, a bit like you really, in terms of actually gone from a position where I would do lots of the pausing of sessions to now they're the ones stopping it and pausing and going, Rusty, the pitch needs to be wider. Rusty, we need to have a chat. Or Rusty, can we do a cheat? Or, and I'm thinking, 20 years. I thought I was, you know, getting some, you know. However, if you have good intentions, you care for people, you want the best for them, you treat them like your own kids or your own family, then I think that's a reasonable start point for any coach, if I'm honest. Yeah.
similar messages in many ways to what we have been speaking about on a number of these podcasts now, that no matter what level of coaching you're at, you are always learning, aren't you? You're talking about two-time World Cup winner, going home, still reflecting, still thinking. You are always learning, aren't you?
I think so. Absolutely. And I remember Walter Smith chatting on the pro licence as well, and you think what Walter's achieved in the game, you know, changing back to football here. And he spoke about it every Saturday when he'd get home after a Premier League game. He would take himself up the stairs and reflect and write down what he did well, what he didn't do well, should have made that substitution, should have tweaked the formation. You know, and he's done that throughout his career, and you kind of look back and think, well, that's why he's achieved, maybe why he's achieved, and, you know, I need to start doing that. But as Rusty says, you get caught up. Yeah. You get caught up, unfortunately, and it's taken that time just to, I call it rocking chair time, which I quite like. Yeah. You know, being able to sit in that rocking chair and reflect, but I've not got a rocking chair yet, and I've not got time yet, but you need to make that time.
I was getting great images in my head there. Are you out on your porch or your rocking chair?
You need to get more flights. Because no one can contact you. It's probably there's two places for me, and I would often ask coaches, you know, where do you do your best thinking? And actually then start thinking about how often you create those moments for yourself. So for me, it's, and you're going to have a good image now, it's in the bath. Because no one wants to come in the bathroom when dad's in the bath, or it's on the plane because there's actually no access to Wi-Fi or to my phone. And so I can't do anything else.
Part of the challenge as a coach, isn't it? One of the striking things I've always seen is how busy coaches are, because it's not necessarily, you'll be busy with your time, but you're always thinking, you're always taking it home with you, you're always, so to get these moments where you can get away from it must be where the sort of best stuff is born from, I feel like.
You would certainly think so, absolutely, you would certainly think so, and I think, not only that, I think as well, but being able to put them in an environment where they're maybe able to bounce off. And I think a mentor is so important to help people with that kind of thing. So not only your self-reflection, but someone that can, you know, peer reflection as well, yes, but also a mentor. So there's maybe those three stages, the self-reflection, the peer reflection, and then maybe someone that's acting as that mentor. And there could be a fourth, you know, the players themselves. Yeah. You know, I quite often say to my son, what do you enjoy best about today? And it's just playing with my pals, and I think we lose sight of that. We really do lose sight of that. So I think there's different ways to reflect. There's different ways to skin a cat, as they say. But it's definitely needed. And because of that busyness that yourself and Rusty have just spoke about there, it's something that's often neglected, but it can be so powerful.
Russell, I want to ask you about your work with the Magic Academy. What can you tell us about that?
Where do you start? myself and John Fletcher left the RFU 12 months ago, set up a company. I'd already had a online sharing space for coaches, so we'd have a couple of thousand coaches around the world on it. And then we just said, well, I like the thought of being called the Magic Academy, it sounds fun. And then, it's days like today. We do a bit of individual work as well. And I think it's just cross sport, it's supporting people with just creating better environments, better experiences for people who've been coached, supporting coaches, and so it's kind of taken off. We've got our cards. We've designed, you know, some simple stuff like postcards, so you can, you know, think about when was the last time you received something written and how impactful was that. So actually, sending postcards to people who've had impact upon you, either coaches or players or whatever that might be, and I think we're just trying to support coaches, to be honest. And it's amazing for me. And you actually were chatting earlier, Greg, about actually this is awesome because you're in the same building as the SRU. Yeah. So I get that all the time. I get to go and hang with different people, different worlds. I'll learn some stuff. And you guys must experience that as well by, you know, the opportunity to share. And even if it's just walking across here and observing a session for 15
absolutely,
minutes.
Absolutely, yeah. And it can be just that that quick conversation with Gregor Townsend as he walks by, you can be fantastic and you just pick something up all the time.
So I see it as like an infinite game. So the stuff we're doing, and that's the challenge. I'm not that process focused. I'm pretty good at procrastinating, as my presentation will. But actually, I'm kind of just see. So people say, "Oh, what's the plans for the Magic Academy? What next?" And it's just, we don't think like that. I'm always thinking, how can we just be a little bit better? How can we do this? Okay, there's some stuff over here where we can help some people. So it's really organic, if I'm honest. It's been a class year. I actually was doing so I'm the ultimate procrastinator, so I had to get all my tax receipts in by this week. And they were in a carrier bag 3 weeks ago, all of them. And so I was by the pool in Spain doing all my, and actually, but it was quite, it was a little bit melancholic almost that you were going through it and going, oh, wow, we did this. Oh, this was, we had that at the service station after we did this. Or we did, oh, that was amazing. So it was, and because we've been abroad a few times this year, so one of my favourite days was in Canada where we did a day's coach development on the ski slopes. So we skied down, chatted rugby on the way on the lift back up, skied down, chatted rugby, and I thought, this would be a good job.
Yeah.
I could do this.
Well, you certainly say it's taken off, the Magic Academy. This is the first time you're wearing trousers in about 2 months, is that right?
Yeah, 7th of July, last time I wore trousers.
Not bad, is it? Welcome to Scotland, Russell. But, the work that Russell has been doing, yeah. You spoke about working with Rangers, Magic Academy, you've been doing stuff with Google. There's a whole host of things that transcend not just sport, but a lot of walks of life for those qualities of coaches. That can be invaluable to bring into this podcast, let alone the pro license.
Absolutely. It can be, of course, it can be. And it's back to the common denominator stuff, and it's back to simplifying things and what's at the heart of what everybody's trying to do, and that's become better. And whether that's becoming better for yourself or becoming better to try and help others.
Yeah.
And it's trying to make those, and this is what I think Russell does really well, it's trying to make those messages seem really, really simple so that people can adopt them. But not only that, and he keeps using the word, it's fun. It was fun, it was great, it was enjoyable, you know, and it's having that as well, rather than getting bogged down and, you know, it's mindset stuff as well, isn't it? And being open-minded enough to think, you know, I can just try that. But as I say, at the heart of it is, I think, it's all people development, I think, that we're involved in.
Along your journey, Russell, one of the things we spoke about last time on the podcast was learning from mistakes. And I thought that was quite an interesting thing, because you're always making mistakes in the coaching world. In any walk of life, you're making mistakes, you're learning from them. I'm interested to know, because you're talking about you're a procrastinator, for example, but I'm sure there are many other mistakes that you've made along the way that have been invaluable in terms of you learning from
them. Cool, I've done two in the last week. I'm going to tell you about them. So I did a session down in London, and I've been playing around with the gamification stuff, video game design stuff, and it's been landing really well. And this kid, we did this session, I'm thinking, that was class. And a kid comes up to me and says, Rusty, can I give you a bit of feedback? And bear in mind, he's 16, 17, this kid. He said, I hated every second of that session.
Oh,
I was like, wow, that's cool, thanks for that. But actually then just said, and this is why, Rusty. So actually, my dad is from the military. I'm really process focused. I was really struggling with that today. And actually, one of the things that, you know, so it was just me coaching. So I always find that quite hard. So I talk a lot about co-coaching. I didn't notice that this kid was having that experience. So that's good learning for me. First time I coached him, but awesome that the kid would say that to me. So that was probably the bit I was most proud of. But actually the reality is it's definitely made me think about even more, who's not going to enjoy this and what type of things am I looking for? So that was one. The other one was, we did a hockey course yesterday, and Matt Way was running it, and he's a rock star. I mean, so it's a really, I can remember physically people coming to observe me coach and thinking, I'm going to lose my job today. Or, and when I did teaching, I would lose a week of my life to someone observing me. Oh my God, coming to observe me. Oh my God, I'm going to lose my job. He's going to realise I'm terrible. Oh my God. You know, as we would all have. And Matt's just, to be honest, Matt's created an unbelievable environment. So probably makes this so, I'm not sure this person who this happened to would have. So anyway, so people are quite, turn up and they're quite nervous, and Matt puts them at ease, and they do some co-coaching on the first day, and it's actually really good. Second day they do individual coaching, and one kid finishes his coaching, bursts into tears, and collapses on the floor because he's been so anxious about it and that experience. And then the day before, I'd asked three people, I said, look, I've got a secret challenge, because it was starting to rain, it was late in the day. I've got a secret challenge if anyone wants to do it. And there was two that I knew wanted to do it, and I thought, I'll give this kid a stretch. And I said, look, your goal is to keep the energy up in the session. You can't tell anyone, but at the end of the session, I'm going to ask the people who they thought brought energy to the session. And I kind of should have triggered on the look on his face of complete fear. I'd done that, and I was thinking, I should have asked him a bit more at that point. So constantly, you know, and fortunately, no one was harmed in the making of this. But it was real good feedback for me on, and it's always a challenge for me, so that's why I like working with co-coaches. People who aren't like me, and my preference would be, and I'm aware that my biases are towards stretching people that need stretching because of lots of my experiences. I need to be much better at supporting the people that need the most support. And I probably put a challenge a bit too far. And I'll give you an example of a coaching one. I tell this story quite a bit. So I said to the kids, look, what do you want to set a secret challenge for one of your coaches? And they said, yeah. We think you should have a positive interaction with every kid. So I'm thinking, this is cool. What I should have thought is, right, the reason for this is he's not that good at it. So I probably shouldn't set the challenge that hard. So I said, are you keen? Would you want to do this? It's a bit of a challenge. And he said, yeah, I'll do it. Of course I will. And at the end of the session, when the coach had gone, I said to the kids, how was the coach today? And they said, creepy. And so once again, I need to be more mindful of, you know, where people are, what's their, you know, what's their why? Why do they, and actually how far are we willing to, you know, and are they able to move? So, because I wrote down confidence, because when you spoke, if we're speaking about coaches, often lots of my phone conversations, so I would be that person that people would ring up, and it's often confidence, lots of really good coaches who actually just, you know, something doesn't quite go well, or someone says something and it's actually just, you know, reminding them of why they're so good and some of the stuff that they've done. So, yeah, I got loads of. I'm just killing mistakes at the moment. If I'm honest. I'm smashing it.
I like that point about confidence, Russell. Greg, I want to ask you about that. You see coaches all the time when you're in your work. You'll see players all the time that probably lack it. They don't have that belief. Yeah. How do you bring that out of people? That's probably the golden question. Really. How do you bring that out?
It's probably what I've asked Russell, or I've tasked Russell to do this afternoon. I think it's about environment. You know, because unfortunately in my line of work in coach education, we have to get to a point where the coach is either A, good enough to get the award, or B, not, and I like to say not yet ready, because people develop at different rates, and everybody will hopefully get there at some stage. So it's about creating that environment to allow them to flourish. We use this phrase, never be afraid, and that could be never be afraid to move a marker. And again, I'm back to that, what I was chatting about earlier, changing things, tweaking things as you go, but in a kind of assessment centre, if you want to call it that, which it constantly is, being on a coach education course. So I think it's up to us as coach education tutors, coach education providers, to create that environment that allows them to flourish. And do you know what? They're still going to hopefully be breathing an hour later after that session's finished, even if they've made a plethora of mistakes throughout the session. It doesn't matter. The world's still going to be spinning. But it's a learning opportunity, not only for the person that's delivered, but for everyone else in the group. But that's the hardest part, and that's the part Russell's been talking about. Oh no, I'm going to lose my job because these people are watching me. And it's having the eyes of the world, and it does feel like having the eyes of the world on you. Yeah. When you're out there on that pitch, you've got somebody perhaps with a clipboard and another 20 of your peers, and you're maybe having to tell Scott Brown, who's won 50 international caps and won umpteen trophies with Celtic, you've maybe got to tell him, do you know what, Scott, you're actually in the wrong position there. You know, and it is a hell of a challenge for people. So it's environment. Environment's the one for me.
Yeah, I think hierarchy. So, I mean, I was looking at, you know, you rock up for a course. Often people are wearing badges. Often they've got clipboards. If there's lots of people observing you, it's quiet. So actually being vulnerable. So that's the stuff I think Matt Wade does really well is actually, you know, he would talk about the stuff he's not so good at and explain that. I think it's about making them feel, you know, giving them the skills. So lots of, you know, support with their skills. And some of the most impactful moments for me have just been getting feedback from someone that's really important to you. So, I mean, I think of it as teenage boys, you know, when the best player tells the with, you know, probably slightly better than you, with the best player tells the player that, you know, unprovoked, I love the way you did that, then that would have impact upon you. And for me, it's often trying to create those moments, or, you know, I heard so-and-so talking about you, Greg, or, you know, the SRU was saying you're doing some great stuff, you know, actually, oh, okay, all right, that's cool. It reminded me a little bit of, so when Fletch was sacked from the RFU, he got probably 1,000 texts and messages and stuff. And he said, and he's one of the best I know at giving, you know, giving people some positive affirmations, some positive feedback. He said, made me realise, I don't do it enough. And often we wait until people die, if I'm honest, to say all the stuff that we really want to say. Because we're men and all that type of stuff. So And I think it's exactly what you said. It's about those environments where people can be like that, but it's also about, you know, as you've been honest with people, and you know, it's trust and it's connections, and that's the skill of the tutor. You're a hostage negotiator. You gotta build rapport. You've gotta connect quickly. You've gotta find out what motivates people, why they coach, what's going on in the rest of their lives, and then think about, you know, how are you gonna potentially deliver feedback, or what question are you gonna ask, or, you know, it's, God, it feels so complicated, doesn't it? And you can get it wrong. So I've got it wrong 3 times in the last week, where you, and it's one thing, and you might have done loads and loads of good things, and you go, bang, rusty, here's some feedback. I hated every second of that. Wow. Just let me recover from that.
That in itself, though, you know, Rusty's laughing about that. You know, and a lot of people would, that, who does that kid know? Who's the kid know anyway? They're only 16, 17. But no, let's be open-minded enough and, I suppose, honourable enough to say, you know what, he's got something to offer. Because he lived and breathed the session.
Yeah, and he did. And he did a session in the afternoon. And we had a conversation about it. It was awesome for me. And I said, I'll be honest, I think you're really going to enjoy the afternoon session. It wasn't me. It was a different coach coming in. And it wasn't a session I would have enjoyed coaching, or possibly wouldn't have been able to coach. And I looked over and I said, you enjoyed it? He was like, oh, it's amazing. I was thinking, I'm dying, like, there's no decision making, there's no da-da. However, it's needs and wants, isn't it? So I'm thinking, this is what you, I probably gave him too much of what he needs, actually. He needed a bit more of what he wants.
I guess, well, ultimately, you're dealing with people, so everybody is different. You're going to get, and I guess that's probably why you learn all the time, because one day you're dealing with one person, and the next day you've dealt with somebody unlike anyone you've ever dealt with before. So you are always going to, it's always going to change.
It's always going to change. We're always going to have different personalities. Even this week on the youth license, we've got a very small group of 13, and that's great. And even that's learning itself, because normally our courses, thankfully, are kind of jam packed, and we're almost turning people away. You know, we're bursting at the seams, which is great and is testament to maybe what we do. But this course will be 13. Wow, with only 13, and I've got 3 tutors working on the course and myself, and I'm saying to Stuart. And I'm saying to Richie and Doogie, right, guys, you're working with maybe 4 or 5, and they're going, oh, that's great. And you're 2 hours into that course, Greg, this is different, this is great, I've got to get to know him a lot better. Yeah. They're more vocal from the, because they're not as intimidated by being able to speak in front of bigger groups. And when I say bigger groups, you know, even going to 24, you know, it's almost double the size of that 13, though. So that dynamic that we've had just in that past week has been incredible. And Rusty's talking there about text. We set up a WhatsApp group. That seems to be the way of the world these days. We can communicate a lot better with that group. We've got a wee WhatsApp group, and the thank you texts that are coming in last night, this was fantastic, that was great, are brilliant. But not only that, our next stage with that group is to take them to Benfica. And of course they're watching the Champions League draw last night to see if we get, how Benfica have got on, or if we might get a Benfica game. So all of a sudden, you know, you talk about learning environments, you talk about dealing with people. You know, there's a huge learning in there for me. Smaller groups can perhaps, but not always either. Yeah. Not always. But for this particular course, the early signs are that smaller group will be able to work a lot better than perhaps we have in the past.
Yeah. I guess a smaller group will diminish that lack of confidence we were talking about. That's a good point you make, because it will probably bring slightly more out of people if they are a bit.
Yes, maybe. But it will also bring its own challenges. Yeah, so course, yesterday exactly. As well, when we're doing coaching demonstrations, tutor demonstrations, we've had to bring a whole squad in, which means they're all then at the sidelines watching. So some of them will learn differently because some of them want to be in the session. Yeah. So it also means as well, when they're coaching, you've now got the eyes of 13, whereas before you might get away with, well, not as many people watching you because they're involved in the session. But now we've got, you know, so the dynamics change all the time.
You know, if there's 100, I'm thinking, wow, if there's 3 or 4, I'm thinking, happy day. So the hockey course was 12 people. We were on the pitch from the first minute. We spent, in 2 whole days, we spent 2 hours indoors. So that would be a real flip from lots of the rugby stuff I've experienced. Everyone was co-coaching. They were individually coaching and co-coaching. And if we sensed that someone actually had some skills they wanted to practice, they could then jump into another group later on and co-coach with that group as a support coach, actually working on their individual feedback or whatever it might be. So that was really useful. And same, the other thing, we WhatsApp group as well, but actually flipped it and set up the WhatsApp group at the start of it so we could put videos on, we could take photos, we could actually create some stuff that they'd experienced throughout the thing as well. So Yeah, and once again, it's you know, you'll have learned some stuff from it and gone, actually, do you know what, maybe we'll have less numbers next time, or maybe we need more tutors, or whatever. And actually, maybe next time we do co-coaching so we don't have 13 on the pitch, or maybe they don't have to be constrained by the white line.
I just want to go back to a couple of points I was wanting to bring up earlier, but again, as we move on and we go into these stories,
way off the script.
We go off.
It's not got a script.
When disappointed. I thought you would have a script. I'm surprised. Are you surprised that you didn't have a script?
When we were talking about that confidence and having those nerves in front of groups, when you were first on your coaching path and your journey, were there moments where you thought, nah, this isn't for me, this is too much to bear? Were you always someone that just thought, nah, I love this, this is great?
Yeah, there was loads. Yeah. I mean, look, lots of learning would have emotion attached to it. Goes all the way back probably to me of sitting in my practice Cambridge interview and them saying, so you want to study, you want to go to Cambridge? Yes. That awkward silence. Yeah. I remember the very moment that at Birmingham I became DOR and had to go and run my first meeting. Physically remember that. Can physically remember my first ever sevens meeting. I look back on it regularly now, and that was in 2006. And I still look back on it and go, wow. And I can remember every, and I don't have the best memory in the world, so I can remember all that stuff. I can remember Kevin Bowring coming to observe me. He'd be one of the best coach developers ever. I would feel $1 million afterwards, but I would feel like I was about to lose my job as he arrived. And so, of course, you know, that's what we also need to understand and support them with, is that they're going to be absolutely bricking it. And we need to give them the best possible chance. So, you know, and it was interesting yesterday, so we talk about related worlds. So one of the people was doing a session, and then we looked over and I said, oh, could everyone just look over Claire and what she's doing now? So Claire was doing a bit of a pep. She was walking around the pitch, imagining stuff. This is relatively novice coach. Da-da-da, da-da-da, imagine this, what if this, da-da-da. And I actually asked her after a session, you know, what do you do? But because I was chatting to her earlier in the day, because she's in sales. So what you prepare for meetings. You actually imagine the scenarios that might happen. You walk around, you think about what questions you might ask. We will learn so much from those people today as well. Yeah. And as you said, we've just got to understand. And I can remember how they felt.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty comfortable that I'm partway to understanding what they're doing.
What about that first moment when you went into football in the first capacity and you were speaking to football people and people that were immersed in this? Was that something that was less nerve-wracking for you?
No, not really. So I remember going to Rangers and thinking, so I thought, I'm going to start off with a bang. So I did a couple of things and I said, by the way, just to be clear, I'm leaving later today so I can say what I want. Here's today. And then I'm thinking, I think it's generally, if I don't feel nervous, I'm probably not in the right space, if I'm honest. So you watch, you know, whenever you watch the kids and the practice isn't quite, it's really easy. There actually there's often a lot of errors. I much prefer put myself under pressure, you know, have this kind of feeling in your stomach that I've probably got now that you just don't know how it's going to go. So one of the talk about, you know, how adaptable are you as a coach? It's pretty important. So I would, you know, especially with coaches or with players, I would be thinking about how did you adapt and why. So you plan. This was your session plan. This was your intention. At what moment in the session did you adapt and why? So I'm and that's probably what I'll reflect on my flight home if I'm awake tonight. Is I came in with a rough idea of where this was going to go. I hopefully sensed the room and actually, when did I adapt and why?
I'm now bricking it. I'm now
questioning myself. I'm even more nervous than you asked me.
So I'm thinking, if I'm going to write the session,
he's done this
lot up. I could get someone else to present today.
That actually really leads in nicely to what I was just about to ask you, Gigi. When I was sitting listening to you, Russell, talking there, I'm then thinking back to, I've been lucky enough to sit in on these podcasts and listen to guys from all walks talking, and everybody is so different that we spoke to.
Yeah,
I find it fascinating to hear from everybody and their different approaches and their different thoughts. And you summed up Russell well. Like, he's the bubbly character. He'll captivate the group. And I guess,
or not,
depends on how well prepared or not he is. But the difference of everyone.
You see, it's a funny one today. It really is, and I'm nervous now. But you know, when we go over the road there in an hour's time or whenever, and
you know, introduce Russell. And I never know how to introduce people because I'm always a wee bit wary of how would I like to introduce myself? You know, and if you've not got that, or you like to think of yourself, you don't have that ego, so it's just, well, here's Greg and here's what he's going to do today. And that's probably what we'll do with this guy because he is, he'll captivate them, I think, himself. But, so, the starting point...
The starting point,
I think, for Russell today is that in that group of 70 tutors that we've brought together from all around the country, there's probably a fan club of four or five. I don't know whether Russell knows this or not, but there's probably a little fan club of four or five that have been on. Have you seen the Magic Academy? Have you seen these guys because of the power of social media these days? You know, so they might know about Rusty through his work, or they might know about Fletch through his work, or they might know about both of them together. We need to get these guys, or they might have spoke to a coach at Rangers. In fact, one or two of them might even work at Rangers, I'm not sure. So he might have that kind of mini fan club. At the complete other opposite end of the spectrum...
Oh, don't mention these people.
He's got the guys that...
I don't think we should let those people in.
He's not a football guy. What am I going to possibly learn from this guy that's never kicked a ball, never switched the play, never worked on, you know, twin strikers? What's he going to teach me? You know,
twin strikers, and that's my presentation.
You know, so what, and by the way, nobody plays with twin strikers then, well, that's me showing my age as well. So what, you know, how is he going to marry that up? And that's the fascinating part, and good luck.
Yeah, but that's what we've been talking about, and that's where I'm sure you even mentioned it right at the start of this podcast, that sport, doesn't matter what ball, what shape a ball it is, the coaches have so many similar qualities amongst them that are invaluable, and hearing from someone with a fresh voice, with fresh ideas.
Yeah, I've been disrespectful. We've got guys over there that are passionate enough to do coach education in the driving rain or the driving wind and the horizontal rain, you know, up in Shetland, and taking time out from our families because they, at the heart of it, I keep coming back to it, want to make other people better.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's the big thing for me. I mean, and by the way, I did coach football at Rangers, so I coached some of the coaches, and I was really nervous about it. And the other, you were talking a bit about, so we had, I went into Derby last year, was lucky enough to go and watch their first team and some of their academy stuff and hang with them. And yeah, I mean, it's often just going. So Ashley Cole was in there, so I did three out of them. Ashley Cole was going to come for the first half hour. He was there for the whole time. That was reasonable feedback. I was thinking, thank God Ashley stayed. But just asking him, you know, how many sessions were you involved in the planning of? Zero. How many times did anyone ever ask you how you want your feedback? Zero. You know, so it's, you know, and it's finding it's almost finding a killer question or something that goes, hang on a second. So one of our first challenges today is you're Mike Beale, and Mike, you've got to win every single game this season. You can't concede a goal. You need to win all the cup finals on penalties. And so what are the implications for your environment? So what are you going to do differently in order to achieve that? Now, they might talk about some technical, tactical, twin strikery type stuff. I actually think they'll talk more about stuff like mindset. They'll definitely talk about stuff like the Croatian coach guy came up and said, being unpredictable, we need to take tactical problems. Well, I mean, that's just the same in every sport. It's not football. Now, clearly, you would also want to make all your players really skillful, because you're probably going to win more games if everyone's as skillful as a Messi or a Beckham or whoever it might be. So... I do think it transcends, and I do. I mean, I'm kind of excited about those people, although don't let too many of them in.
Well, I guess we're probably pressed for time now, guys. But just to finish off, Russell, I guess it'd be nice to know what's next for you and for the Magic Academy. I'm sure you've got a hectic few months ahead of you. But what's the next steps?
Dev rest tomorrow, which is cool. I'm pretty excited about that. Catch up on a few bits of admin as well. I'm playing in an old boys game on Sunday, red bib, over 40s, Bath against Bristol, red bib, can't tackle or be tackled, which suits me. Yep. Most people go full contact, which completely weirds me out. And then, yeah, just lots of stuff, really. Do a lot of stuff at universities coming up with some of their sports students to kind of maybe get them to understand, you know, what their reality could possibly look like. Some school stuff, hockey, some more football stuff, been doing a bit of stuff with FA as well. Everything just different every day. Yeah. I love it. Because clearly my biases are around stuff being, you know, random and disorganised and dynamic, and it's happening in my life, so that's cool.
Brilliant. Guys, it's been a pleasure. I could have kept going there.
I don't know how you've stopped it.
Yeah, because
like
if we keep talking, we don't need to go to this thing where there's apparently 66 people that hate me.
So just remember, no twin strikers anymore. Just scribble that note and you'll be fine. But guys, it's been a pleasure. Greg, as always, Russell, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
I appreciate you having me.
Cheers, Russell.
That's all we have time for in this week's edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast. Feel free to send us your feedback, your ideas for coaching topics you want us to cover, and to get in touch, visit @ScottishFA on Twitter or email info@scottishfa.co.uk.